Another Black Hawk is down near Baghdad. A massive fuel leak is suspected in Monday's China Airlines 737 fire. And another China Airlines flight diverts due to insufficient fuel. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 23, 2007. A U.S. Army UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter went down north of Baghdad early Wednesday, killing the 14 soldiers on board. According to the official U.S. military statement, quote, two UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters were on a night operation when one of the aircraft crashed. Initial indications are that the aircraft experienced a mechanical malfunction. There were no indications of hostile fire, unquote. CNN reports all on board the stricken Black Hawk were members of the Army's Task Force Lightning and included four crew members and 10 passengers. The Army is investigating. The Brookings Institute reports 67 helicopters have crashed since the war began in May 2003. Enemy fire is believed responsible in 36 of those cases. As ANN reported last week, five soldiers were lost when their CH-47 Chinook crashed near Fallujah during a routine maintenance flight. The explosion that blew apart a China Airlines 737-800 on Monday while it taxied to its gate at Okinawa's Naha Airport may have been provoked by a massive fuel leak from the jet's right engine. The explosion occurred just moments after all passengers and flight crew were evacuated via the inflatable chutes. Hiromi Tsurumi, a spokesman for Japan's Aircraft and Railway Accidents Investigation Commission, suggested, quote, from the size and intensity of the fire, we may be looking at a very large fuel leak, unquote. There have also been media reports there was damage to the pylon connecting the engine to the wing, which could have punctured a fuel pipe and caused the initial fire. Japanese, Taiwanese, and U.S. aviation experts have joined together as an investigative team. Boeing says it's sending an investigator to Japan as well. Officials praised the pilots for the quick evacuation. Zhao Guo Shi, president of China Airlines, said Tuesday he was sorry and embarrassed about the incident. He even boarded a busload of Taiwanese tourists to offer a direct apology. Another China Airlines plane, this one an Airbus A330, was forced to divert to an airport in western Japan on Wednesday when the pilot radioed he had insufficient fuel on board to wait out a temporary runway closure at his intended destination. The Associated Press reports that the plane, with 163 people on board, was headed to Chubu in central Japan when that airport's runway was closed for about a half hour due to a minor incident involving another plane. The China Airlines flight diverted to Kansai, about 125 miles away, where it reportedly landed shortly before 9 p.m. and was refueled for the return to Chubu. China Airlines officials in Taipei have not commented. The National Transportation Safety Board says it will investigate last week's runway incursion at California's Los Angeles International Airport, in which two airliners may have missed each other by less than 40 feet. As ANN reported on August 16th, about 1 p.m. local time, WestJet 900, a Boeing 737, and Northwest Airlines Flight 180, an Airbus A320, almost collided at LAX, according to the Federal Aviation Administration. The NTSB says the WestJet flight landed on runway 24 right, exited the runway, and held between the parallel runways as directed by the tower. However, without authorization, the WestJet crew changed radio frequencies and contacted ground control. The ground controller assumed the plane had been cleared to cross runway 24 left and provided instructions for the WestJet flight to taxi to its gate. The tower controller was still expecting the WestJet flight to hold and cleared the Northwest flight to take off on runway 24 left. The ground controller then realized that the WestJet crew had not been instructed to cross runway 24 left and ordered it to stop. According to the FAA, the WestJet plane crossed the hold short line for runway 24 left, and the two aircraft came within 37 feet as the Northwest flight crossed directly in front of the 737 during its takeoff roll. The board notes that the Airport Movement Area Safety System at LAX was operational at the time, but it's unknown whether it was activated. That will be one of the many questions the NTSB will have for airport officials, controllers, and the pilots involved. Up next on ANN, British fighters are scrambled to intercept a Russian reconnaissance plane. ATC errors in Memphis, are they caused by understaffing or not? And Boeing outsources the jobs of 149 IT employees. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 23rd, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. As ANN recently reported, Russia seems bent on reasserting its place on the global stage. The Putin government recently stepped up surveillance flights by Cold War-era Tu-95 Bear bombers, much to the chagrin of the U.S. and NATO. Last Friday, two Royal Air Force jets were scrambled to intercept another bomber after it came a little too close to entering British airspace over the North Atlantic. UK Sky News reports two Eurofighter Typhoon interceptors shadowed the Cold War-era reconnaissance aircraft when it appeared unannounced, then turned back just prior to actually entering UK airspace. According to The Australian, relations between Russia and Britain have recently been deteriorating. Russian submarines have been observed moving close to British shores, and contacts with Royal Navy ships have increased. The London Daily Telegraph has reported suggestions that Russia might be testing the UK's air detection systems and response times and levels. This is the first time Russian aircraft have threatened to penetrate British airspace since President Vladimir Putin issued an order for bombers to resume their worldwide long-range patrols that ended a 15-year suspension of those flights. European media is reporting that EADS is delaying acceptance of an offer to buy three of its manufacturing facilities because one of them was not on its original for-sale list. One facet of the company's Power 8 restructuring plan involved finding buyers or partners for some of its plants. An offer from Voith, a German firm, included purchase of plants in Werl and Nordenham, Germany, which were on EADS' list, but also a factory at Augsburg, Germany, which was not officially for sale. The daily newspaper Les Echos carries an unsourced report that EADS will hold its decision on the offer until about September 20th to consider the sale of the additional plant. A recent spate of air traffic control errors at the Memphis Air Route Traffic Control Center is drawing new attention to the FAA's controller staffing controversy. The FAA says it's fully staffed at Memphis ARTCC with as few as 244 controllers, and it currently has five more than that. The Controllers Union says full staffing at Memphis is 354, and they're 110 short of that. Exactly what the correct number should be is a hot topic as the government investigates a series of errors made by air traffic controllers in Memphis that caused planes on six occasions in 1 week to come too close together. That includes jets flown by Southwest and American Airlines. The Memphis Commercial Appeal reports the National Air Traffic Controllers Association blames the mistakes on understaffing. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown dismisses the notion. Quote, the 354 number goes back to the 1998 to 2003 contract, which was extended to 2005, unquote. A similar controversy erupted last week at the FAA's Southern California Terminal Radar Approach Control. The FAA says its new lower staffing numbers are realistic. The union says the FAA is understaffing because it's being hit with massive retirements among workers hired after the air traffic control strike in 1981. Working for a company that's making big profits doesn't necessarily guarantee job security. Just ask the guys in the IT department at Boeing. Like many other American companies, Boeing has announced a decision to outsource its information technology work and cut in-house positions. The Seattle Times reports that last Friday, 149 senior IT personnel got 60-day layoff notices. Boeing says some could possibly find other positions within the company, and the outsourcing contractor, Computer Sciences Corporation of El Segundo, California, will hire others. The Puget Sound area of Washington will see the most losses at 123 jobs. The rest of the positions are distributed across the nation. Vice President Radha Radhakrishnan, head of Boeing's computer and network operations, issued a memo saying the decision follows a four-month evaluation. Not all IT functions will be outsourced. The Times reports that CSC's bid to take over Boeing's mainframe operations would have cost more than doing it in-house. So mainframe stays in-house. Still ahead, the body of another missing World War II aviator is found on a glacier. A new device could tell us when we're not mentally fit to fly. And even ultralight pilots can get in trouble with the FAA. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 23rd, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. A writer searching for the engine of an AT-7 navigational plane that went down during a training mission shortly after takeoff on November 18, 1942, discovered a body atop a glacier in the Sierra Nevada range. It's believed to be the remains of one of the three aviators still missing from that flight. This is the second set of human remains found in the area, an alpine region of Kings Canyon National Park. As ANN reported, in 2005, another set was discovered encased in ice and identified as that of Leo Mustonen, an aviation cadet. The crew on board that ill-fated flight was Mustonen, pilot William Gamber, and aviation cadets John Mortensen and Ernest Munn. A blizzard is believed to have brought them down. Rangers found the body lying on a remote rock glacier with undeployed parachute nearby. Stenciled on the chute was U.S. Army. Families of the three men are to be notified, and DNA analysis will be conducted to identify the remains. J.D. Swed, Chief Park Ranger, says the area has been searched extensively. Quote, "We've scoured the area over the last few years. We're confident that there isn't anything else to be found there," unquote. But, he adds, "for the moment." The pilot of a small aircraft reportedly flew very low on July 4th over the Sacramento River, alarming a group of tubers who were enjoying an Independence Day outing. He then flew under the Gianella Bridge, where he was seen by a Glenn County Sheriff's deputy working boat patrol. Sergeant Dave Lilligren alerted the Butte County Sheriff's Office, which launched a helicopter to intercept the aircraft. The Chico Enterprise Record reports it was forced to land on a gravel bar in the river. Witnesses described it as a home built with two people on board. The pilot was released after questioning, but he's not out of trouble yet. Richard Cotty, an aviation safety inspector with the Federal Aviation Administration's Flight Standards Field Office in Sacramento, said serious charges are likely against the pilot, saying he was careless and reckless. Criminal charges could be pressed by the Butte County Sheriff's Office. Officials say the pilot's identity will not be released unless charges are filed. Under the FAA's Part 103, ultralight aircraft are limited to single seats, a 5-gallon fuel capacity limit, limits on stall and maximum speeds, and must weigh less than 254 pounds. So-called fat ultralights, the term applied to two-seat trainers, are allowed to be flown only when operated under the terms of exemptions issued to the Experimental Aircraft Association and the Aero Sports Connection. Those craft are legal only for use in flight instruction and must be transitioned to light sport registrations in the next few months. The FAA calls ultralights vehicles, not aircraft, and many normal FAA regulations and remedies do not apply to their operation. The operator of an ultralight usually has no pilot certificate to suspend or revoke. Part 103 itself takes only two pages in the regs, but 103.9 is a blanket prohibition of operation in a manner which endangers persons or property, so the FAA does have recourse in cases such as this one. The carefully cultivated decades-old image of NASA astronauts as heroes able to subjugate their earthly emotions has been shaken badly lately by reports of love triangles and allegations of pre-launch alcohol abuse. So now that it's clear they're human, how do you decide when someone is fit to enter an environment where small mistakes could be deadly for entire crews? The New Scientist reports NASA is testing a handheld device designed to warn if an astronaut is not in optimal condition to perform critical procedures. Think breathalyzer, only able to detect lack of sleep and stress in addition to alcohol. The psychomotor vigilance task was developed by David Dingus, a professor of psychology and psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania. The device administers a 3-minute test that requires the holder to press a button as quickly as possible after a light flashes. The test measures cognitive deterioration in the user, and unlike some tests, it's difficult to fool, even by subjects who are experienced with the device. Neurologist Jonathan Clark, a former NASA flight surgeon who is now with the National Space Biomedical Research Institute, seems to acknowledge that we're not always the best judges of our own flight readiness. Quote, "It's universally known that just because you feel okay doesn't necessarily mean you are okay," unquote. So, how long before the device might become available for general aviation use? Stay tuned. And finally, lots of old planes come up for sale, and they'd all have great stories if they could talk. But I'll bet few could tell stories like the 41-year-old Cessna 172G, currently being auctioned off by the Tucson, Arizona Police Department. The city is selling the 172 to raise money for a new aircraft. The plane is equipped for IFR and has been upgraded with increased radius leading edges, but as for its exact mission history, nobody's talking. Bidding was up to $23,600 as of Wednesday night, and anyone who's not a police officer or drug felon can bid. You can find out more about the plane and place your bid at the special auction website set up by the Tucson Police Department. And to get there, you can find the link at the bottom of the print version of the story on our website at aero-news.net. Now, we do know that the plane has been used for surveillance and aerial photography in support of police operations, so you might want to be careful flying low over any remote agricultural anomalies, if you catch my drift. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with John Cudahy about his job as president of the International Council of Air Shows. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.